What kind of fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at King's Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. King's Island is now open weekends.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Man of the year, man of the year, man of the year. Welcome to the number one friendship podcast in the country. I'm Aaron Cairo.
I'm Matt Ritter.
Make sure to go to manoftheyearpodcast.com and watch our videos on YouTube. So Matt, as you know, I've been branching out with a little, I don't know if we will call it a side hustle, but a little, I don't know, new hobby. My friend is a venture capitalist in San Francisco, and she runs these boot camps for first-time female tech founders. Like 97% of tech founders are men. And she's brought me on to help teach some of the women like storytelling and pitching, the stuff that we do all day. And now it's becoming a bit of a business, and she's asked me to be a part of it. And since you and I are also starting a business, and we've both started a business with friends, I thought we'd discuss that topic because it's rife with
potholes,
pitfalls, and pros and pitfalls.
You know, first thing I have to say is when I think female tech founders, who could they look up to as a mentor? First thought, Aaron Cairo.
I don't know why you would say that.
Just you're the mentor of all mentors.
I'm the mentor. I just wrote one of my mentees' grad school recommendations. One of my mentees' books just came out.
What gives you the right to call yourself a mentor?
By the way,
we're still looking for mentors.
No, we need, I don't have any mentors.
I know. How can you be a mentor when you need a mentor?
Is it the kind of thing where bullies become bullies, or is it the reverse of that?
I don't know. Yeah, hurt people. Like, is that
unmentored people mentor? Unmentored would be a good spin-off podcast.
Yeah, unmentored.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you learned it all on your own.
Yeah, I learned it all on my own. But so anyway, my friend, she actually just sent me this. Literally, just happened like last night. She sent me a contract, which, ooh, by the way, Matt,
can you send it to me? Have a look. Can you have a quick look, a peek?
But we've talked about this before that, you know, when you're working with a friend, obviously there's a lot of pitfalls, but then once it goes from favor to business, you know, the dynamics change.
We're not just talking about like working on something with a friend. You're talking about starting a business with a friend now.
Yeah. Not just coworkers and work besties. Yeah. We're talking about going in on something.
Right. Because I've worked on projects. We've worked on projects with our friends in this biz. We do it all the time. Starting a biz with somebody, a whole different animal.
Yeah. Once you're incorporated, once you have an LLC.
Well, as we know, it's pitfalls and potholes.
Now, have you started a business with anybody besides me?
Yeah. Started a food business with Jesse, obviously my wife.
Oh, right. What was that again?
Posh Party Platters. It was these, actually great idea. Side note, Jesse had this idea because she's an event planner and has a great aesthetic, had this idea that when you cater a party or like throw a small gathering, like you can either pay a caterer or you cook at home or you buy those little Trader Joe's things or you buy like the Hormel ugly platter. She had this idea of a catered look at home in minutes where it's all in this kit and you take it out and you put all those cute little things in a cup and it's ready to go in 2 minutes. And it went like gangbusters. We got in some grocery stores. We ended up like catering a bunch of holiday parties, but the food business was not for us. Nightmare. Very mean it's people.
It's kind of like HelloFresh, but for catering.
I don't know what HelloFresh is.
What do you mean? It's like a Factor or whatever. One of those, you know, meal delivery.
Oh, meal delivery. Yeah. But it's the aesthetic. It's the look a little bit. Yes.
Wait, do you say people in the food business are mean?
Yeah. Cruel.
Meaning what?
It's very competitive. It's very mean. The people in the grocery stores are mean. Everybody's mean.
Worse than Hollywood?
Yeah. Very mad. Very nasty.
Damn, that's nasty.
Nasty business.
You know what? I wonder if
we're
it's
too the soft. Lower... We're too sweet.
Right. The lower the margins, probably like the higher the vitriol.
Well, that was it. So we were in the cheese section. And our item was large. And so the owner of the grocery store liked our item, but the cheese manager, he made his money on volume of cheese being moved. And so we had to remove a bunch of high volume, you know, cheeses that had much higher margins and replaced them with these big bulky items. And so he would be like, you know, I miss my cheeses. I really miss my cheeses. He would say that to the owner in front of us.
Did the cheese managers get paid on commission?
Yeah.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they each have a section. I'm telling you, dude. It's like a weird, there's these little fiefdoms. The wine guy, they had to move out some wines. He's like, I miss my wines. There was a guy with we were in three different places. In one place, in one grocery store, we were in the section, you know, like in Gelson's where they have those to-go sandwiches?
Yeah.
So those move. Ours were like a specialty item. They didn't move so much. So the guy, like he would go to the manager. He like, come here. I want to show you something. He'd pick up like a 4-pound thing of macaroni salad and he'd pick up our posh party platters. He'd go, you see this? This is 4 pounds. A family can eat this. He goes, you see this? This is like a 1/4 pound of food. Who can eat this? I'm like, these are apples and oranges. Literally, buddy. Right. Like, if you don't get it, you don't get it. He was comparing our cute, like mom party dish to a macaroni salad.
Ooh, God, I love macaroni salad.
Oh, it's the best. I mean, I liked it better than what we had, obviously. I could eat a whole. But so then we would like go into the store and we'd discover we had these ribbons on. I'm like, these guys were ripping the ribbons off.
It was like a shiva.
Sabotage.
corporate espionage.
Sabotage. So that was a business.
And then didn't you also have another like comedy?
I had a big business, Comedians at Law. That was my first sort of big business with friends. Me and these other lawyers turned comedians. We started the first and only lawyer comedy troupe called the Comedians at Law. And there were 6 lawyer comedians trying to do a business together. So you can imagine how that went.
That sounds horrible.
The passive aggressive emails, I can't even explain to you the level they were on.
Which is worse, doing a business with comedians or doing a business with lawyers?
It was the worst of both worlds combined.
That might have been the longest pause you've ever done in the history of the
podcast. Yeah, because I mean, it was just horrible. Six very strongly opinionated schmucks.
Oh God, that actually like gives me anxiety thinking about it.
And then we like some people got kicked out. It was all like it was just like a whole. And then it ended up just being me in the end, I think.
So
one, you're like one man left standing.
It was like Masada. Yeah. That's a deep cut for anybody. Yeah. So what have we learned, or what can we discuss about starting a business with your friend?
You have to know them very well.
Mm-hmm. Didn't you not even know some of these comics? I remember.
I didn't know them well enough.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to
know their temperament.
Yeah.
You got to know their strengths and weaknesses. My number one thing is like, it's not worth like destroying a friendship over it.
Right. That is a very important thing to keep in mind. You know, we're closer than ever. You know, there's a scenario where 4 years ago we're not talking, but I think we're good right now. I wanted to ask you about paper.
No, we'll get in fights. We get in fights, but I'm saying, like, you know, it's different if you're gonna like do you really think it's going to wreck your friendship? It's not worth it.
Yeah. I mean, I think I wouldn't use the term fight for us.
No, I'm just saying you're going to get in.
Disagreements.
Yeah. You're going to get in disagreements. So you have to have the temperament for that. And you have to like both have the right temperament. Like, I just think like two hothead friends.
Right.
Going to business together. Not good.
So I want to talk to you about papering, which, you know, is kind of, I don't know, is that slang? We just say having a contract. You know, with this you know, thing I'm doing in San Francisco, it kind of started a little organically and then it kind of moved into more of a business. And my therapist was like, do you have a contract? And I'm like, no, I brought it up and we just haven't had a chance. And she was very wary. She was like, make sure you have this conversation with her. And I'm like, I do trust her. And she's like, you know, trust only gets you so far.
Yeah.
I did actually finally get the contract yesterday after like,
I think there's a lot to be said for that because then it takes it out of the realm of like friendship. And it's like, this is just pure business. This is just how business goes. This is how you do business.
Now that itself is potentially fraught.
Yeah.
Because now it's not, again, I think we talked about this. It's like that, then it's not just, hey, we're doing this thing. It's organic. It's friendly. Now it's like, I think we're going to have to get through an uncomfortable moment.
Yes.
To get back to the comfort.
Yes. But I also think, you know, you do have to like compartmentalize.
Okay.
On some level, like the business of it. I'm not saying, hey, on the business level, you can stab your friend in the back because it's just business. I'm just saying when business has to be done, that's put your business hat on. And in this work time, we're business associates and we're doing business. Not saying you can't be nice to each other and treat each other pleasantly, but I'm just saying the friend rubric doesn't hold in business hours.
Right. Interesting. The friend rubric doesn't hold in business hours.
Yeah. I just think like you have to abide by business. There's different rules for like pure friendship and your business. When you're mixing them, I think it's okay to have a collegiality that is more, or you could be closer and more intimate and joke and do all the friendship things. But I think the rules like that govern business have to apply. Cause like your friend can be late for your lunch, but your friend can't be late to a business meeting.
I suppose another way to sort of rephrase that is that when I am sort of, you know, negotiating this contract, I need to negotiate it like I'm not friends with.
That's right. I think that's right.
You know,
not to the detriment of your friendship. I mean, there's like things that people do that are like so obnoxious in business sometimes.
Yeah.
That are like, okay, you're being a total asshole, but you can drive a hard bargain with a friend because it's business now.
This is a tangent, but when you said drive a hard bargain, that reminded me. So when I was just in San Francisco, I don't know if you saw, I drove in a self-driving car.
That was scary to me.
It's unbelievable. I didn't think it's called Waymo. It's only in Phoenix and San Francisco. It's a totally self-driving car. Everyone who isn't a San Francisco person was like horrified, scared. Can't believe it.
I mean, it's all going to happen, right? 5 years from now, we're all going to be in driverless cars.
Yeah. I was just so surprised that everyone had, maybe because I did. I mean, it was so, first of all, it's so cool. Like it's straight up Back to the Future. The car just pulls up on the curb.
I know, but don't you feel like you have no control?
But think about every Uber ride you've ever
been. I know. We have no control anyway. It's all nonsense.
So it's funny. She was saying that because there's relatively few cars. So they're being monitored real time.
How many are there right now?
That I don't know.
Hundreds? Look it up.
Yeah, I don't think it's definitely not thousands. She said she once got in the car drunk with a bunch of friends and they snuck like a fifth person in, like we've done a million times.
Robot?
What?
To the robot.
Yeah, to the self-driving car. They were driving and then a real person pops on the screen. Excuse me, you have an extra person in the car, and it makes it pull over and let you out.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like the headquarters.
Yeah. And also, you're going to
You got to
be
wearing a trench coat with two people inside of it.
Also, apparently sex workers have been using the cars to turn tricks.
Mm,
and so they had it also. because it's a cheaper version of a hotel.
You know what's crazy? Speaking of sex workers, my friend was over, Jesse's friend was visiting. They have a co-working space in New York.
Yeah.
And on their camera, like, they caught two, like, a sex worker, like, having sex outside of their building, like, against the railing. And, like, it's not indoors. Like, I don't know why they chose, like, the outside of a co-working space. Or, like, why did they choose this place?
I mean, you saw people... or doing it on the Senate floor. So, I mean, I don't know if we can really.
No rhyme or reason for why people.
There's no rhyme or reason. But I'm telling you, the self-driving car, it's so cool.
Either way, because
think about, you know how, like, we as 80s kids, nothing we were promised. I mean,
I would like the super train that they have in Asia. Like, that's what I would like. I would like the 700 mile an hour train from California to New York.
We just need to be able to get to Vegas in a couple hours.
How about in 20 minutes?
Is that what it says?
The Elon Musk bore tunnel, the boring tunnel, right?
Yeah. Okay. All right. I just feel like we didn't get hover cars. I mean, FaceTime. I mean, this is pretty futuristic. Like, if this
we have hover cars?
I think it's too hard.
It's annoying. I agree with you. That I want those amphibious vehicles.
Oh, and so you just went the other direction. You want to go underwater now.
I want both.
You want
under,
both.
Over, sky.
Right. We just want to get to Vegas.
Yeah. We just want to get to Vegas quicker. The main thing. Business.
Yes. I want to circle back to business, but can we take a quick listener question and then come back to it? All right.
Did you know Bridgestone developed a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials? Making a difference today for future generations. That's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. Kings Island is now open weekends.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, this is asking for a friend. If you have a friendship question or ethical dilemma, send it to us on Instagram, Man of the Year Podcast. We'll answer it on the show. Okay, so this woman writes, I run an event planning company with my best friend, Maya. We poured our dreams and sleepless nights into building the company, and for a while, it was pure magic. We balanced each other perfectly, sharing the workload and celebrating success like giddy bridesmaids. However, lately, I've noticed a concerning imbalance in our work hours. While I juggle client calls, vendor negotiations, and late-night venue changes, Maya's presence seems to fade early, leaving me scrambling to pick up the slack. How do I address this disparity without igniting fireworks and jeopardizing our friendship?
So this is a great question, because I think this happens to a lot of partnerships with friends. Everybody's working the same out of the gate, super hard. No matter what, it's very rare that the partnership's going to be 50-50. And even if it is 50-50, it's never going to seem 50-50 if you look back at a day or a week or a month or a year. There's going to be times where somebody's doing more and somebody's doing less. That happens with us for sure. And we address it, you know. I just think like you have to dispel with the notion, first of all, that it's going to be 50-50 because it's never going to be. And even if it is, your perspective is always that you're doing more, I think. Hot take.
You agree with that? Why do you think that is?
I just think we all have that internal thing where we don't measure properly other people's workflow and what they're putting into something. We always sort of overestimate ours and underestimate other people's. We can't always see the work beneath the surface. Like for me to do something, for me to write something, there's a lot of prep that goes into that. For you to do something, you have a process, right? I don't see your process. So I think we all tend to go, well, I did X and you did Y and my X is worth this and your X is worth that. And the reason we're doing that is we're not communicating properly our expectations.
What if we distinguish, because I think what you're saying is right for more of a remote business, which was what we is, but it sounds like they're like a brick and mortar business. No,
I think all businesses, because I also think different people have different skill sets. So soft skills don't seem to like look as sleeve rolling,
right?
As going through files, right? Like the sales guy doesn't always seem like he's working as hard as the coder.
But what, that's a great point. But what if, I don't know, her friend Maya is the soft skill. She's landing clients. Okay. She's doing business development and she's physically working less because it goes faster or she's really good at it. And the other woman is slaving at the thing. Is that fair?
So yes. This is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying to you. I'm saying, yes, I'm saying what you need to establish is what is your expectations and what are our metrics? Because if we're just saying, hey, we both have to work 50 hours, why? Right? Like, I think when we're, you know, like a lot of businesses, people don't establish expectations and tasks. And this is in my purview and this is your purview. And I think the best way to run a business is to let people do their strengths and that's their lane. And however they do that, great. If they're not getting the results, then you have to address it, right? But if you also just don't like the idea that you're working a lot harder than somebody, then you need to address that too. Why don't you like that? You know, because I think a lot of it is sometimes people are just different. They have different work ethics. Like they have different work ethics. And so if you don't partner up with somebody who has the same like work ethic as you, like I'm a grinder, it's going to bother you. Right. If that's just, if you're like, I hate lazy people and you just see anybody who doesn't work 50 hours as lazy, it's going to be hard to partner with that person. But on the flip side is sometimes people slack. And if they do slack, you have to address it. Because the longer you let that go, the worse it's going to be for the business, but also the relationship.
I mean, I think clearly from two guys who used to be in corporate America, you know, the last thing you want is FaceTime. You would hate when a boss makes you do X, Y, Z.
Right.
But it is different when you're starting a business with your friend.
You got to roll up the sleeves.
Right. I mean, if we were running a copy shop and I was there working the counter for 10 hours and you spent an hour doing biz dev and it was great. I don't really feel like that's fair.
Why? Now that's the question. Why? Because well, what is the goal of the business?
Right. The goal of the business is to succeed and to make money.
Right. And so if the guy who's doing 1 hour a day versus the 10 is getting all the new business in and the other guy is, you know, 10 hours working there. If they agreed to that, great. But you can also change the agreement. You can also go, hey, look, I thought I was okay with that.
Right.
I'm not okay with that. It just feels like just too much of it is on my shoulders. And I think you need to communicate that.
But if one person's got 9 hours of the day to do whatever they want, the other person doesn't. I mean, like that,
right.
I agree.
Look, I agree. Like that doesn't seem, it's not going to feel fair. But I don't know unless we've established what the expectations are.
Right. I mean, I suppose if they went in and say, listen, I'm going to do the biz dev, it's not going to take very long.
Right.
I mean, there's always something to be done in a small business, I'm sure.
Yeah, I agree. If it's 10 to 1, obviously, that's, you know, right. Very skewed.
Yeah.
But it does sound like this woman is getting pissed that her partner is really pulling a no-show.
Right.
And that just happens so much in business. And so that's why if you're going to go into business with your friend, you got to know that you're both committed. And if you're not committed, here's the thing. You could start off super committed with a friend in a business. I think here's what happens a lot. You do get committed and then something pulls one person, whether they're not, they don't love the idea as much. They don't believe in it as much. One person believes in it more. One person believes in it less. Or they have something else that's taking up their time that they now prioritize. Things change in life. The real question is, how do you address that moment?
Well, to your point, I was just going to say, we also don't know what Maya's going through. Maybe she's got an illness in the family. Maybe she's dealing with financial issues. So it all comes down to communication, which is we're almost becoming broken records at this point, that you got to talk to her and see like, what's up? Like, why are you leaving early? Is there something, can we talk? Can we change, you know, roles? Like, let's figure this out.
I agree with the, can we change roles? Like, can we tweak the roles? Like, my hours aren't working for me. Like you, if it's not, cause clearly it sounds like it's working for Maya. She's okay with slacking and, you know.
Well, maybe she isn't. We don't know.
Right. But I think in general, that's why you're supposed to have weekly, like consistent check-ins with your business partner or monthly or whatever. So right. That you don't get to a place where you're now like, where the hell is this person?
Right. Right. One woman's slack is another woman's, I don't know. Not, I mean, absenteeism or one woman's right. Whatever. Right. Do you slack, by the way?
Do I use Slack? Yeah.
Yeah.
For my recruiting hustle. Yeah.
Whenever people mention Slack, because Slack came out after I left. Did you use it when you were a lawyer?
No.
So it came out after I was in Wall Street, and I always feel like kind of an idiot because I don't know. I've never used it, and that's like so much a part of people's lives.
It's a big part of people's lives. It's a nonstop communication. It's like AOL chat rooms all over your computer.
And this is so like if
a million channels, one company, a million channels. It's ridiculous.
So for every, let's say, project you're on, you have a little room with the people on that project.
Yep.
So how do you, so you're just getting notifications all day long?
I've got a California team. I've got a New York team. I've got an all recruiter team. I've got a monthly updates. I've got a regional updates. I've got a secondary. I have 90 different channels that people ping me on in this stupid side hustle.
And how do you prioritize? Like, does it show an inbox or just a random collection of lights?
Just a random collection of lights. It could kill a man. The Slack highlight could kill a man. Every time a highlight pops up, it could kill a man.
I'm willing to bet, and I'm not, and I've never used Slack, that there's got to be a better way to organize it than what you have, because I know you.
Oh, I'm 100%. I'm looking at it right now. I have, so I've got 1, 2, 3. I've got 9 lit up channels right now.
Oh my God. And do you have any idea if they're talking to you or just saying, hey, does anyone have the
button? No, they do. Cause it says direct message.
Oh, okay. So got it. So it's a little bit like WhatsApp kind of, oh man.
Brutal. God. Brutal. The Slack handcuffs.
Yeah. So we
nightmare.
It's one of those things that like technology has brought us together, but also is killing us.
I also don't know how to search for things in Slack. So yes, I don't know how to use it very well. I'm sure you're right. You're right.
So do we think we answered this question?
Well, yeah, I think we're saying you need to confront the person. It's not about hours. It's about expectations. Sometimes it can look like somebody's slacking or they're not, or they are. And there could be a valid reason, like you said, family, sickness, whatever, or they could have moved on mentally and they haven't communicated it to you. And you need to reframe the relationship, the business relationship. Sometimes you need to do it for the sake of your friendship too.
Yeah, that's a good point. You gotta, because you said when you're doing business, you're doing business. But once it starts affecting the friendship, then you gotta make some choices.
Yeah. So I would never tell people don't go into business with their friend, but go into the business with the right friends.
All right. Let us know how it goes. I hope this event planning company succeeds, and I would love for you to cater our next Man of the Year holiday party. That was asking for a friend. If you have a friendship question, send it to us on Instagram, Man of the Year Podcast, and we will answer on the show. All right, let's go back for a minute. Anything else you want to touch on as far as starting a business with a friend?
Yeah, I think this is my one tip.
Okay.
It's got to be fun. I say this to you about what we're doing sometimes. Like, it's got to be fun. This whole thing has to be fun for us. If it's not fun, like, what's the point, you know?
I don't think you've literally ever said that. I'm not joking.
I know. I just made that up right now.
Because I would argue,
we're having fun. Like, no, but I'm saying we're having fun. Like, I just
think,
no, it's too much work.
Well, no, what I have said, and to be honest, was recording the podcast is an absolute blast. The other 23 hours are not that fun.
Yeah, yeah. But now we're doing the Netflix festival. Like, we got all these like fun things on the pipeline. A very big article coming out.
Yes, that's true. I don't think you have very good timing of when you like to mention stuff that is going to be either
too early.
I mean, just don't mention anything timely.
No, but I do think there is something to be said for, like, if you're going to go into business with a friend, like, it's got to be fun on some level. You got to make moments that are fun. You have to, like, have some time to enjoy it.
I'm not sure I agree with that.
Really?
Because starting a business, you know, isn't always fun. I mean, it's work.
I know, but if you're going to do it with a friend, there should be that bonus element of, like, you guys should have a couple of, like, rituals that you do or something, like, make it special.
I don't know. I think that kind of goes against your previous advice. Like, it's, I mean, sure, if you want to like chat about non-work stuff, sure, but like, it's a business.
No, I know, but I'm saying you still should hold a place for something. Like, I don't know if it's like something you do where, you know, you celebrate your achievements as friends, whatever, like something that makes it a little more special. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I think the special comes from you're getting to do something really, like, most people don't work with their friends, right? 99%.
No. Yeah.
You know, we're going
to. I'm saying, I think part of the reason you're doing it because you think it's going to be a net positive.
Right. But that could just be financial and not be fun, yeah. Fun wise.
I know. But I think there should be that piece of it where it's like doing it because I enjoy it. Am I going against everything I just said?
No, I just think about us, like, when we've have our weekly call or we record our podcast, we get to that end of the conversation and we're both like, I'll talk to you tomorrow. It's like 10 a.m.
It's all done. It's business. It's done.
It's all no, business. It's not. It's just like, you're sick of me. I'm sick of you. Yeah. Like, you know,
we're done.
Send me a Slack.
Exactly. We're so Slack. No, I don't know. You know, I just think there should be something nice about it. You know,
okay.
I'm not saying it should be. I just think there should be something nice about it.
And are we considering this?
I'm just saying there should be some good feelings there.
Yeah, I totally agree. I know you kind of just gave it to this already, but what did we learn today? I think that I need to be a little bit more intentional of the divide between friend and business. You know, when you're setting expectations, when you're doing a contract, you do need to be in business mode. Yep. But if you have created that base, then you should be able to your point, have fun with it.
Yeah. And I will go to what you just learned from your therapist that happened to me, a new friend that we're doing a project together right away. He was like, first, we got to get the agreement done. Like, all biz.
Right.
And I respected it.
Okay. You're
like, we just got to get that out of the way right away.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting out of the way is a good.
I thought that was cool. I was like, oh shit. He just like came straight into it. He's like, look, he called it top of the top, which I never heard before. He goes, top of the top. We just got to get the attachment agreement done.
Top of the top.
Yeah.
So first things first.
Yeah.
Top of the top.
Never heard that before. Right. I like that
phrase. That's not a phrase.
I think you made it up. It's pretty cool.
Top of the top. Okay. All right. I'm gonna chew on that.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, you know me, I'm always like off to the races. He was like, top of the top. We just got to get that done.
Got it. I love it. All right. Well, we'd love to hear from our listeners. If you have or are starting a business with your friend, let us know. We want to hear all about it.
Yeah. I want to know what the biggest pitfalls have been for you.
pitfalls and pros and pitfalls. We want to know.
What's the nicest thing? And if you have any rituals that you have decided on for you and your friend that you're in business with.
I love it. All right. That is our show. Guys, remember, be good to yourself. Be good to your friends. Love you, buddy. Love you, buddy.
The legend of Cayman Jack is just around the corner. Mixed with blue agave nectar, real lime juice, and cane sugar for the perfect balance of sweet, salty, and sour every time. Discover legendary taste with Cayman Jack, America's number one margarita. Premium flavored malt beverage. Please drink responsibly. All registered trademarks used under license by American Vintage Beverage Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is BVK for Ocean City Tourism, OCMD Streaming Audio. On March 11th, 2024, the title of the spot is STSA Leisure Summer. This is a 30-second composite stereo streaming audio mix.
Get away with friends to the laid-back Maryland coast, where you can catch up while casting off and hang 10 while hanging out, where a day on board is never boring. And full throttle is half the fun. Where you can sink a putt, raise a glass, and there's always room for one more round. Ocean City, Maryland. Somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your crave.